إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده رسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance and His forgiveness. I believe in Him, I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah سبحانه وتعالى guides him to Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is his Sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Today, inshallah, this is the fourth class in the sixth album for explanation, the book Bulugh al-Maram. This is the fourth class for the sixth album for explanation for the book Bulugh al-Maram, attainment of the objective. الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله. And today, inshallah, we're supposed to be starting a new chapter, which chapter number 2 concerning sacrifices, and still dealing with the book of foods. And for those who have the book, we dealing with Hadith 1160, and this is page number 477. I remember from last week, there is one hadith that I didn't go in details in it, and I said I'm going to finish the class or close the class with it, and after this the tape finished before we explain it. So if you don't mind, I will back up a little bit and go to hadith number 1157, which in page 476, and after we finish this hadith, inshallah, we continue with our new chapter. وعن شداد بن أوس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة. وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبحة. وليحد أحدكم شفرته وليرح ذبيحته. This hadith, which reported by Shaddad ibn Aus, may Allah be pleased with him, the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi, the hadith is authentic. Hadith reads as the following: Verily Allah decreed goodness in all affairs. So one of you kill, let him kill in the proper manner. When one of you slaughter an animal, let him do it in the proper fashion. And let any one of you who do so to sharp his knife and rest in his animal. Hadith, as we said, is authentic in the collection of Imam Muslim. Al-Ihsan is the same word that came in the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, when he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he asked him about Iman, and asked him after this about Islam, and after this asked him about Ihsan. Ihsan, which to do something, to perfect something, to do it good, to do it in the proper way, to try to reach perfection to the best of your ability, is a general term, is that you do things in the proper way, whatever it is. Although that al-ihsan in worship, that to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you seize him, that you're looking at him, and if you could not come to this kind of realization, be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Here this hadith is very important for us to pay good attention to it, and this itself tells you what is Islam is about. Islam is about goodness. Goodness in everything, something good. And when you attach yourself to Islam, that means you're attaching yourself to the good, and for you to be good. Good in everything. Special things which you do, to try to perfect it, try to improve it, try to do it good. If it's a homework, if it's a job, if it's a professional, if it's a speech, if it's a class, if it's ironing of clothes, whatever it is, that a Muslim should be the best in everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from us that we do good in everything, to try to perfect whatever that we're doing. And that we have gentleness when whatever we're doing. That Allah wants us to do things in the best fashion and best manner. To such a degree that even this goodness and this ihsan, Allah wanted to be even in the time when we try to kill or slaughter. How a person will be good if he's killing or if he's slaughtering something. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it to us, and as I explained in one hadith before, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an al-musla, something in that meaning, and I gave example by a person have to kill something which is harmful for him, and when he kill it, he should kill it one time, not to try to kill it in proportion or in stages, and try to make it suffer, okay? And even if this thing is harmful, and I give example like somebody tearing their ear first, cutting the tail after this. Some people, they take it like almost like a game, okay? Have fun killing a bird, and they don't kill even the bird one time. They cut the wing first, and they snap the ear out, and do things very bad. This is not right. You shouldn't be doing things like this. Like a snake, as example, a snake is a harmful thing, okay? So for you, if you want to kill it one time. Don't make it suffer, okay? Don't make it suffer. As for things that lawful to be slaughtered, it, okay? Sheep, camels, cows. Now also, Allah ordained goodness when you do it. How? He said, maybe we need to turn the microphone out in the lobby so they know that we have a class. So in this manner, that a person, what he have to do, that he have to be good also. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذَّبْحَ. That when you slaughter in hell, how you going to be good when you slaughter an animal? He said, وَلْيُحِدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ. Shafra, which is the knife. Whatever you're using to slaughter the animal, make it sharp, okay? Don't start slaughter the animal and after this, when you go one and two times, or it's not working, now the animal is still under your foot and you go sharp it and you try it again. You're supposed to prepare this before, okay? Don't let the animal suffer. So before you approaching the animal to sacrifice or to kill, you should prepare your knife by sharpening the knife. And also a person should make the animal resting. What I mean by resting, okay? Don't drag the animal as example, okay? Some people maybe take the animal by the leg and drag it all the way from the barn or the farm all the way to the place where they're going to kill it. This is not a proper way, okay? Lay it down, don't make it standing up as example, okay? Resting, give it water, offer it food first, okay? Be kind and give it a good treatment. Although that this hadith is relating to food and the manner of slaughtering the animal, but I want to switch it a little bit for us to reflect and think about us being a human being. If this is the manner that Allah wants us to deal with the animals, can you imagine what kind of manner that Allah wants us to deal with each other? Okay? So it's not a matter of sharpening the knife when you're killing the animal and this is it. Okay? But sometimes I understand we forget this when we're dealing with each other as a human being. And good treatment, if it's been ordained towards animals, I think human beings deserve it more than animals. Okay? This is one of the main things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the believers. He said, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Harsh towards the disbelievers, merciful and kind the believers. So inshallah, hopefully that we keep this in mind in all affairs that we're doing, our job, slaughtering animals, dealing with each other, trying to be kind, not to try to take advantage of each other. If our brother or our sister did a mistake, we don't have to go around the whole community to embarrass the person or to try understand to have parties. You join me and you help me, vote for me, and we're going to make a petition, okay? So we can try to take this person out of office. kind of things. This is not the manner of dealing Muslims with each other. If somebody care for somebody, he will go to advise him, okay, try to correct him in the best manner. People come in meetings and they try to slot each other in front of each other. This is not the way. Anyway, inshallah, this was the last hadith that from last subject that I didn't talk about it, and we come back again to our original chapter for today, which Bab al-Udhiyah. أنس ابن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يضحي بكبشين أملحين أقرنين ويسمي ويكبر ويضع رجله على صفاحهما وفي لفظ ذبحهما بيده متفق عليه وفي لفظ سمينين ولأبي عوانة في صحيح ثمينين بالمثلثة بدل السين وفي لفظ لمسلم ويقول بسم الله والله أكبر وله من حديث عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أمر بكبش أقرا يطأ في سواد ويبرك في سواد وينظر في سواد ليضحي به فقال اجحذ المدية ثم أخذها فأجعه ثم ذبح وقال بسم الله اللهم تقبل من محمد وآل محمد ومن أمة محمد. This hadith which reported by Anas, first al-adahi is a plural for the word udhiyah, and udhiyah is what a sacrifice a person slaughtering in the day of Eid after the Salah. So this ram or goat or lamb or camel or cows, whatever it is that a person do it in the day of Eid, that we call it Al-Udhiyah. So this is the chapter of Al-Adahi, which is the plural for the word of Udhiyah. So this hadith is reported by Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, and the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make a sacrifice with two rams, okay? And that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to choose the proper udhiyah, a healthy animal for his sacrifice, free from all kind of defect, okay? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make takbir, and he used to put his foot on the side of the neck, because this is more proper way to have control on the animal. So you take the animal and lay the animal facing the Qibla on the left side, okay? You hold the knife with the right hand, and you hold the animal head, if it's a goat or a lamb, okay, with the left hand, okay, and you have your foot on the side, okay, above, almost like the shoulder, okay. So this way that you have more control, because it's more force in the head. You see, if you try to hold the animal from other, and you have the head loose, he can have more strength to get out as long as the head is loose. So when you hold the head with the left hand and you have the foot like this, and now this will, you pull the head up like this and you have the neck and you can cut the neck.
His foot or his knee?
His foot.
His lahul or qadam.
You could not put a foot without a leg. Oh, you mean like this?
What I know is he puts his leg like
this. I don't know this if he's sitting, okay? And I don't know how serious it is, you be close, you understand? But what is say he wada rijla, okay? But whatever it is, more convenience is a matter of having control over the animal. If you put the foot or you put the knee, what it comes here is say wayada rijla. Okay.
Wa alaykum
assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All these things for the istihbab, the proper way of slaughtering. There is certain animals you don't slaughter it sitting. Anybody know? Like what?
Camel.
Like a camel. Okay? The camel, you tie the leg, or let's say the hand, if you want to call it the hand. You will put his hand like this, okay, and you'll tie it, and you sacrifice him standing up, okay, and this way you have more control over him, and you pull the head also from the back, okay. So this hadith, it shows the proper manner of slaughtering and the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you say it when you do, and they prefer that you have a male instead of female sheep, and saying bismillah and the takbir also, and that shows also here that is no special color for the animal that you slaughter, doesn't matter, okay? It can be black, it can be mixed with white, it can be completely white. All these things is permissible, okay? Which we see it in the next hadith coming, inshallah, or the other. Also from this hadith we understand that permissibility of making sacrifice with more than one animal.
بنسكو راس العجل الحبل وبذبحوه هو هذا يجوز
والأفضل طبعا أن نعم يكون أريح للذبيح الأشياء اللي تذبح يعني واقف هو الجمل
فينا فينا في ناس بذبحوه زي بنسكو من الرأس راس من هناك ناس بشده شفيف وناس من رجله من وراء شفيف وبجيب الخوصة هو واقف
من ناحية الجواز جائز ولكن ليس هذا أفضل الأفضل إراحة الذبيحة. He was asking concerning people that for the veal or the cow that they hold the head with the robe, somebody else be pulling the leg from the back, and after this while standing up they will slaughter it, okay? Like, you know, business stuff, quickest things, they don't have time. So it's permissible, you understand, but it's not the proper way, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَ فَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفَّاتَ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَ. So also the permissibility of a person making sacrifice with more than one ram. This depends if he have financial capability to do so. This will be better, but if he's not, he can do one only. Because this hadith is said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yudahi bi kabshayni akranayn. Okay? Kabshayn, two ram. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say Bismillah and say Allahu Akbar, and he put his foot in the side of the animal. The next hadith, we see the assistant of the family, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is Aisha. Okay, which is part of the first narration, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked her to sharp the knife, and after this the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took it and he slaughtered the animal, and he said Bismillah, in the name of Allah, Allahumma taqabbal min Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa min ummati Muhammad summa dhaha bihi. So also the permissibility and the sunnah that a person make dua and yad'u Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yataqabbal minhu al-amal al-salih ammatan wa khasatan fi al-udhiyah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بعد أن ضحق أو حينما ضحق قال بسم الله وقال اللهم تقبل من محمد أو الله accept from محمد وآل محمد and the family of محمد ومن أمة محمد and from the ummah of محمد. And this also goes that you include the Muslims in your dua. Okay, including the Muslims, and this is shows you that a person have to care for Muslims, okay, and that you make dua for the Muslims in general bi dhahr al-ghayb, okay. So Rasulullah sallam, he made dua that Allah accept his sacrifice as well as his family and from the whole ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this second addition also is correct. Also from this hadith we understand that one ram is enough for the head of the family as well as the whole family. One is enough. So if the head of the family makes sacrifice, this will be sufficient for him and his children, his wife, everybody. The next hadith, hadith 1161, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان له سعة ولم يضحي فلا يقربن مصلانا فلا يقربن مصلانا. رواه أحمد وابن ماجه وصححه الحاكم. This hadith authentic if we say that is mawquf. Okay, the hadith is not marfu' to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is mawquf. So if he say is mawquf, will be sahih. And in this hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us the important of the udhiyah, khassa liman wassa Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa a'tahu al-mal. Fahadha alladhi a'tahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith, wa anna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuhibba an yara athar ni'matu ala al-'abd. فإذا أعطى الله سبحانه الإنسان من فضل ومساته فعليه أن يضحي، لأن الله رزقه وهذا يعني رزق للفقراء والمساكين. حتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أن من عنده سعة، أي سعة من المال، ولم يضحي ما ذبح في يوم العيد فلا يقربن مصلانا، يعني لا يجي يصلي معانا، لان هذا الانسان ما قام بالسنة ولا فعل الشيء المطلوب منه كما ينبغي له كمسلم. ده حديث إذ موقوف acceptable. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم talking concerning a person who have a means, financial means, and he neglect the sacrifice in the day of Eid, that he shouldn't be coming to the musalla of the Eid. Okay, and we understand that the sunnah that to go outside to make the Eid prayer, except if there is weather, cold, snow, rain, winds. Okay, and this is shows to show the strength of the Muslims, and show is a life da'wah. Let's say it this way, is a life da'wah for the non-Muslims to see the Muslims, alaykum assalam, to see the Muslims together and to expose the public to the existence of the Muslims. So this is called al-musalla, outside of the mosque. So we see how strong this sunnah, of making sacrifice in the day of Eid, to such a degree that the Prophet ﷺ said that if you are not concerned about making this sunnah, you shouldn't even be coming to participate in Salah with us. The next hadith, حديث جندب ابن سفيان رضي الله تعالى عنه قال شهدت الأضحى مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما قضى صلاته بالناس نظر إلى غنم قد ذبحت فقال من ذبح قبل الصلاة فليذبح شاة مكانها ومن لم يكن ذبح فليذبح على اسم الله. متفق عليه، أي أن الأضحية لا تذبح إلا بعد الصلاة، وإذا ذبح الإنسان قبل الصلاة عليه أن يعيد الذبح وإلا لا تحسب أضحية، فلا بد أن تقوم بعد الصلاة. This hadith reported by جندب بن سفيان. نعم، فصلي لربك وانحر، جزاك الله خير. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. The hadith is authentic. There's a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith which he reported by Jundub that he was with the Prophet for the Eid, the Adha Eid, the sacrifice. And after the Salah elapsed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked and he saw some sheep's been slaughtering it already. That mean is done before the Salah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever slaughtering a sheep or a goat before the prayer, let him do another one. And whosoever didn't do it, let him slaughter it in the name of Allah. So this hadith is showing us the proper time for making the sacrifice, because this is a form of ibadah, and the musharri' which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had make a special time for it. And Allah said فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. So the same way that the Salah is only for Allah, so النحر لا يكون إلا لله. The same way you make Salah only for Allah, also you sacrifice for the sake of Allah. And the Salah first, and after this, the sacrifice comes second. So if you did slaughter an animal before, this considered like a regular meat. It could not count as a sacrifice. You don't get the reward of a sacrifice. So if you want to get the reward, you have to go and make another one instead of it. The time for adhiya, slaughtering the animal, will come after the Salatul Eid. And also, it shows us the permissibility Not if you are in the city of Colombia, now don't get yourself in jail. Huh? It shows the permissibility of sacrificing and killing the animals besides the musalla. Okay? Because the Prophet ﷺ, after he finished his salah, he saw the sheep there, been slaughtered already. You know, if you did something like this in the city limit, you know where you go, okay? So don't try to say, oh, I'm doing the sunnah, huh? Or go in what you call it, this Sydney Park, or and go have some animals in the start. Will be children abuse and animal abuse, and you be in all kind of things. You go to the higher court in the whole United States. The permissibility of eating animals that been slaughtered before the salah, but is not going to be rewarded as a sacrifice. Next hadith, which in page number 479, hadith number 1163, عن البراء بن عازب رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قام فينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أربع لا تجوز في الضحايا: العوراء البين عورها، والمريضة البين مرضها، والعرجاء البين ضلعها، والكبيرة التي تنقي لا تنقي. This hadith in collection of Imam Ibn Hibban رحمة الله عليه as well as At-Tirmidhi. Imam Abu Dawood and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah also. The hadith is authentic and is reported by Al-Bara ibn Azib, may Allah be pleased with him. And this hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not permissible, is not proper for you to sacrifice animals which are not healthy in a manner of eyes, sickness, ear, limbing. Okay, that means you need to choose the proper animal. You presenting a gift for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing something for the obedience of Allah. You should give the best that you can. Don't get a one eye sheep, or a sheep, you understand, that the ear is gone, or has a hole in it, or broken, or is no tail, or is no leg, or arja, you see, limp, okay, or has a sickness, or is so weak. Okay, you have to choose the best. You have to choose the best for your sacrifice. The one eye animal, okay, and the sick one, and the limbs, all these things you could not use it for sacrifice. Next hadith 1164, عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تذبحوا إلا مسنة إلا أن يعصر عليكم فتذبحوا جذعة من الضأن. رواه مسلم. Okay, again, one hadith had shows us the time for the sacrifice. One hadith shows us the condition of the sacrifice. Okay, then this hadith showing us the age of the sacrifice animal that you're using. Okay, so Rasulullah sallam fi hadha al-hadith yanha an dhabh yani an-na'aj as-saghira allati ma kamalat sana wa dakhalat fi as-sana ath-thaniya. تكون الغنم يعني كملت سنة دخل في السنة الثانية، ولكن في حالة عدم وجود المسنة فيمكن للإنسان يذبح يعني غنمة 6 أشهر 7 أشهر، ولكن على الإنسان أن يحاول أولا أن يبحث عن التي كملت السنة. So in this hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that we shouldn't sacrifice animal which is less than 1 year, sheep less than 1 year. Okay, except if you could not find, now you can sacrifice one that 6 months and above. Okay, and this also to show you how we should choose a proper animal for sacrifice in the proper age, because it has more meat. 1165 is the hadith and the page is 480. Reported by Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, قال أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نستشرف العين والأذن ولا نضحي بعوراء ولا مقابلة ولا مدابرة ولا خرقاء ولا شرقاء. أوكي؟ يعني نفس الحديث اللي اتكلمنا عنه من قبل، ان الحيوان ما يكون اعور العين، مقطوع الاذن، اعرج، كل العيوب هذه ما يصح ان الانسان يعني لابد ان هو ينتقي ويتخير الذبيحة التي سيتقدم بها اضحية. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had order them that they have to check the eye, the ear, okay, and to make sure that the animal is fully healthy with no any kind of defect. As I stated before, that this hadith which reported by Ali is authentic. In the hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasai, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban. Hadith before the last for this chapter 1166, عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى أمرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أقوم على بدنه وأن أقسم أن أقسم لحومها وجلودها وجلالها على المساكين، ولا أعطي في جزارتها منها شيئا. This hadith reported by Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bought Ali, his cousin and his son-in-law, may Allah be pleased with him, to be in charge of his sacrificial animals, sacrificial animals. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him instruction to distribute the meat, okay, among the people, everything, okay, and not to give any of it as a price for the butcher. Okay, so that means you don't give the fare, you don't give the liver, you don't give anything as a price for the butcher. You can pay him from your bucket, but you don't give him anything from the sacrifice. يعني ان الجزار ما ياخد شيء من الاضحية كأجر على الذبيحة، تعطيله من جبتك. نعم، لا تعطيله لا الفروة ولا الكبدة ولا شيء خالص. نعم، إلا إذا كان إنسان فقير وأنت بتعطيه شيء، ولكن ما تعطيله كأجر للذبيحة. And also from this hadith we understand the permissibility of putting somebody in charge to carry out your sacrificial animal. Okay, you can slot it yourself, or you can let somebody do it in your behalf. Also the distribution, you can do it yourself, or you can let somebody do it in your behalf is still correct, okay? And something very important that we have to understand, alaykum as-salam, the importance of giving charity from this animal. And you can give gift, you can give charity, you can eat from it, alright? But something very important that you have to understand, you don't give the butcher anything of this as a reward or as a pay for his slaughtering or his job that he did in this. Last hadith in this chapter, which hadith reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, qal naharna ma'a rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi sallam aam al-hudaybiyah al-badana عن سبعة والبقرة عن سبعة رواه مسلم. جابر may Allah be pleased with him, he said we sacrificed along with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the camel in behalf of seven people and the cow in behalf of seven people. Okay, يعني إن الحديث يبين ان الانسان اللي ما يذبح شاه عن اهله ممكن ان يشترك مع سبعة في جمل او في بقرة.
الجمل برضو سبعة؟
الجمل سبعة والبقرة سبعة. نعم. So that mean if a person for some reason he could not sacrifice a sheep in his behalf and his family, maybe because there is no or the price is too high or whatever reason, so seven families or seven head of the families can get together and they will share a cow or they will share a camel. So inshallah here we're going to stop because it's almost time for adhan and Isha prayer. And I, since today is the first day after changing time, I didn't know really how to go about it, so I decided to start to take at least half of the class before Isha and half of the class after Isha. And before you leave, or now before we close the adhan, I would like to know what is the best time for you to start the class. It can be after Isha or can be after Maghrib, and we're going to have to break it half. This is up to you. I'm here at your disposal like always. So anybody would like to vote for the class, or at least to tell me by showing hands, what do you think is the best time we have? We can start like
7:30.
Like